I'm going to be the only one drinking beer because you guys opened yours before the live went live.
We'll put this at the beginning. That's be cool. That's fine. All right, all right, all right. Welcome to Unparalleled Episode 18. I'm your host, Tony Roseland, here with my fantastically radio voiced gifted co-host.
Oh, nice. Wow. Where did that hit?
Just right there. Didn't hit me.
It didn't hit you?
Nah.
Mr. Jed Conklin, what's up, man?
What's going on?
How's it been? How's the week? Last 2 weeks? How's it been?
I don't know. It's a blur. I've slept about 3 or 4 hours a night since then.
What are you doing all day? What is it you do? What would you say you do?
You sound like my wife.
What is it that you do? I thought you were done with all the long hours of opening a restaurant and that stuff.
Dude, what? Oh, it's tax season.
You don't have an accountant for that?
I do, but they don't actually have magical access to everything in my life, although it feels like it. And a bookkeeper.
Yep.
Actually, a team of accountants and a bookkeeper.
Okay.
Let's see. I have been playing a lot of guitar.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting any better?
Oh, no. 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 No, no, no.
All right.
No. No. I've been playing some guitar. I've been doing some meetings. I've been doing a lot of bookkeeping. Our grandmother / amazing babysitter is ill, so we've been parenting.
Coronavirus?
It's unknown. No, she does not have the coronavirus.
Good. Speaking of which, this week's beer.
Corona.
Corona.
Brought to you by Corvid 19 or whatever it is.
Thought that it was that was a good call on Tim's part to bring in Corona for this week.
I thought it was very clever.
Might as well support him.
Yeah. I mean,
thought it was very clever.
That was a true statistic before the show. 38% of Americans believe that Corona beer has something to do with the coronavirus, so they refuse to buy it.
38% of the population are idiots.
I think a lot bigger than that, but yeah, that's definitely the only people that did the survey.
Everybody, I think, but in this room, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
So we also have a guest here, Chris Lambeth. What's up, Chris?
Not much.
Chris is a local
boy. These limes
are
cut terribly, by the way. You can't even. You
just shove it in.
I mean, there's
anything
some
nice
things
to say
that
at all tonight.
It's gonna be a night full of negativity.
You're local, yeah.
I am, yeah.
Spokane. Chris is here in the studio, but you've been around. You didn't stay in Spokane. You were in Arizona for a while.
Yep, and Phoenix for 4 years.
Talk to us about who you are and what you do for the world that does not know who Mr. Lambeth is. What type of you're a photographer first?
I am. Yeah, I do a lot of fashion, editorial type stuff, vehicles, all that good stuff.
You hang out with hot chicks.
Yes.
Is that why you do what you do?
No.
Okay.
Are you married?
No. Mm-hmm. Serious relationship though.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Was she a model?
Yes.
Oh. Uh-huh.
There it is.
The truth is out.
And his master plan came together.
It did. It worked.
So, hey, try to stay close here because you'll fade off as you move back and forth
keep
like
your,
this.
Keep your head right over the hole.
So,
you guys are dirty.
Anyway, we got your website up, commercial fashion and high-end retoucher. So it's mainly with people, fashion and beauty type photography. Is that kind of your genre?
Yeah. I've kind of delved into the car world a little bit, mainly with my personal vehicle.
That's rad.
Yeah, it's fun. A little bit of
Banff?
A change. No, actually, that's in. Dang it! Where is that? Priest Lake.
That's Priest Lake.
Yeah.
Is this a composite or is this legit?
The mountain's not real.
Yeah, I think that mountain's out of Banff. I was like, "Cause that ain't Priest Lake." Got it. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, just a random road and stop. Actually, that's I had the phase one when I took that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's fun to play with.
So, do you work out of a studio? What's your deal? What's your status?
Right now, just working out of my home.
Okay.
Nothing crazy. I'll rent studios if I need to. I haven't been shooting as much lately, but I'm hoping to get back more into it here soon. So
now you did have, if I remember correctly, a studio in Arizona, right?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. White Slate.
White Slate Studios. Yeah, yep.
That's right.
Yeah. And then obviously when I was here in Spokane before that, I had this studio.
Yeah. That's so.
This used oh, to you be had this.
I had this. Yeah, I had this a long time ago. And I don't know if the website.
It looks
still
a little
up.
Different, but cool.
Yeah.
So
what are your clients? Who are the clients?
That's what I was going to say. How do you get into this? How do you come? I mean, you just say I'm going to shoot hot chicks one day, and then
you just start doing it until somebody buys them.
Much, take out a Craigslist ad like a creeper.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I first moved to Arizona, obviously I didn't know anybody, so I just hopped on Facebook and looked at all the modeling agencies, and started finding people on there and just messaging them, and kind of went from there, and then it just built out, and then a lot of my work came, and I started doing all the agency tests for the modeling agencies, and so that's mm-hmm. where most of this work is from. It's just their test shoots to build their portfolios and whatnot. So
got it. So for an aspiring fashion beauty photographer, they reach out on Facebook to some of the talent agencies and things. And is it are they reaching out to the models and doing like a TFP type of a deal? Is that give
let's
trade so I can get some experience, build some portfolio material for myself, and I'll give you a copy of the finished images type of thing? Or
depending on the agency, it's kind of like that. You have to build like a relationship with the agency to have them really like trust you to be able to do that. Some agencies will not let you work with them unless you've shot a lot of content for them before. Some of the agencies will let you reach out directly to the models and then kind of do the trade from there. So you just kind of, you have to, depending on your location, just talk to the agencies and be like, hey, are you cool with me shooting your models, whatnot, and then go from there. So
what was that site? Model Mayhem?
Model Mayhem.
Oh yeah.
Don't ever use it. It's terrible.
Oh, I was on it for years back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Just browsing though. He wasn't actually providing any service.
No, I have a whole just looking. I have a whole page.
Well, is that still a thing?
I think it is still around. Sketchy as ever.
Really? Yeah, yeah. A bunch of creepers.
I haven't been on there in Let's see what's on there.
Dreadcon.
Oh, it is.
Oh boy.
Model Ma'am. That's solid.
Oh, that's so funny, dude.
It's got a link to your website.
I love all the comments that people throw in
there.
Is
that the only picture on there?
Look, it's got a link to your website, Jed. Click on that.
It doesn't work. Oh, there's 30 photos. View 30 photos.
Oh, yeah. Let's see Jed's 30 photos from Model Mayhem.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
That's hilarious.
Oh, wow.
Oh, hey, there's Anna. I know her.
Oh, my gosh. This is hilarious. I have, like, essentially forgotten all about this stuff.
All right, so tell people what Model Mayhem is, because there's probably some youngsters listening that don't know what the hell Model Mayhem is.
They don't need to know.
But it's a weird concept to be listening to the podcast and not know. So what's the concept of Model Mayhem?
Do you want to take
this? Oh, no, you take it.
You're on
there. Actually, the first time I've been on there in a decade, probably, based on those photos. But
Jed Conklin, last logged in,
2/17/2020. I never got a single job from it. I think essentially all I ever used it for was I knew all these people beforehand. So I don't even know what I use Model Mayhem.
It's essentially
for.
A social network for
photographers and models.
Yeah, it's like Facebook for
it is. It's essentially, I guess that's what you end up using it for. You can produce portfolio images for both the model and the photographer.
Yeah, it's ultimately. It's a way for them to connect.
Yeah.
And you can go through and look at a photographer's portfolio and contact them and say, I love your work, would love to shoot with you sometime, et cetera, and you book a thing and take them to the park and photograph them out there, and then they put them on their page and back and forth, et cetera, and it was free, I believe, right? Mm-hmm.
I think there's a paid tier for it.
Okay. But for the most part, you got on there, it was kind of free. And, so gotcha.
I can't even believe it's that recent. Very experienced. Paid assignments only. Oh, yeah, joined in 2008. There you go. God, it has been around 12 years ago, dude. Holy smokes.
Yeah, a long time. Yeah. Wow. Anyway, all right, Chris. So, what brought you back to Spokane from Arizona? What happened in Arizona? You didn't like that place?
No, I loved it down there. Weather was great. I moved down there for photography, kind of jump into it full time for that when I first moved. And
why Arizona?
Family was there, so that helped out a little bit. The weather's great all year round, so you can shoot all year round, and then. On top of that, it's really close to LA. It's like a 5-hour drive to LA. So if there's any jobs in LA, you can just hop over there, for a day and then come back.
Gotcha.
And it's cheaper than living in LA. But yeah, so it was just, it was good, but it just wasn't as busy as I hoped it would be. So I was kind of looking for something more permanent. And then once I came back here for just a vacation, just see my family and whatnot. And then I got a job offer from a company called Nanomax and to be their full-time photographer. So I took it.
What's that?
It's a company. They do online women. It's an online women's boutique. So they do, it's like,
pull that bad boy up. Let's see what we're looking at. N A N A M A C S. That'll be in the notes.
Yes.
Got it.
So yeah, it's just like a,
so you shot all this?
This stuff, no. The old, I took a step back to doing just retouching, and then another photographer has stepped up, and he is now their full-time photographer, which is what this work is. My work has been switched out. So they it's a fast fashion company, so they go through product pretty quick.
Gotcha.
So they'll put something up, it'll sell out, and a day or two or less.
And then you have to do a whole new shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Is all this stuff shot in a studio or some of it obviously is location, but
they do a lot of location stuff. They've recently just started shooting in a natural light studio, which is up on Division a little further that way.
Okay. Well, this is a local company.
Yeah. They're in Post Falls. Oh, so
crazy.
Yeah.
So they build sets in that place and then do, okay. Gotcha. Yep.
It's a full actual studio in the warehouse as well. Okay. But once the weather starts getting better, they move to outside or natural light. So
gotcha. What kind of gear is it? Medium format stuff?
We're all on Nikon right now. When I was shooting, we were on the 850s, and then now they've moved over to the Z7, the Nikon Z7s, the new mirrorless. So
I haven't talked to anybody who has shot those yet. What's your thoughts on the Nikon mirrorless versus?
I'm not a fan. Really? Yeah, the image quality is there. It's great. I personally shoot an 850. It's on par with the 850s. Just the way it works is just clunky. I'm not a huge fan of it.
Is it really bad?
I played with them for like a good solid month and I couldn't do it. So yeah. Every time I picked up my 850 or their works 850, it felt good. Mm-hmm. And then every time I picked up the Z7, it's like, not a fan. So
have you tried it yet, Jed?
No, I've shot several mirrorlesses. I shot most recently I shot that Canon that you have. Yeah, yeah. And I kind of felt the same way about it. Great, beautiful images.
Oh, yeah.
But man, it was not, and I don't know, I only used it for a day, so I can't really say that I wouldn't have gotten accustomed to it. But the digital viewfinder for me is what really was weird to get behind. You know, I'm used to seeing exactly what I'm seeing, and it's like, that's just so different for me. I think you get used to it. I think in the studio, it probably is not as big of a deal. But like if I was out in the real world, like trying to, I think it would mess.
Yeah. The only thing that I like about the mirrorless and the electronic viewfinders is that you see exactly what it's going to be. And I mean, you can change it. So you see how a normal, DSLR would see it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, if you're changing your f-stop or whatever, you can see it actually changing in the,
which is cool.
Yeah. It's nice.
Cool. That's cool.
But it can also cause issues where things you think it's going to look one way and
it's
then it
cheaper.
Doesn't. It is cheaper. Yes. You do have to buy.
I have the 850 as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The only problem with this is you either have to get, if you're running current Nikon, you have to get either an adapter or buy into a whole new lens system.
Which has always been the boon for Nikon, right? You can always use whatever forever.
Well, same thing with the Canons for the most part. But Canon was smart and looks like Nikon is doing the same thing. They're including.
Yeah.
Is that it? No, build the bundle. They want you to buy it.
$300.
So Canon, for the longest time, I don't think they're doing it now, but for the longest time, they were including the adapter just to make it that much easier for people to move over to their mirrorless and still keep their EF lenses.
Yeah, because we had bought the two of the adapters for both of our Z7s, and I mean, we had...
Do they work well?
One of them did, one of them didn't. We have major focus issues with one of them. We were putting the 24 to 70s on there, just the normal... Nikon 24 to 70s, and one of them is tack sharp. The other one back focuses like every single time.
That's so annoying.
Yeah, we've reached out to Nikon, and they're like, no, we've never had any reports of these things having issues. I'm like, I clearly have an issue, and so we just sent it back to B&H, and
That's that Nikon there, service I was telling you about.
It's terrible.
I fucked those guys, man.
I've always had phenomenal service with them. But I'm NPS. I don't know. I mean, you're I'm assuming you're NPS.
It was horrible, dude. I swore them off forever.
Oh, that's funny. I've never had
again.
An issue.
And I've never owned a Nikon since. In fact,
and you'll never buy again?
We are not Canon shooters anymore either as of today. We sold the final piece of Canon gear this morning and picked up all Sony gear.
You sold your mirrorless too? You said you weren't going to do that.
I don't know. We ended up going to all Sony. So we have Sony video and Sony still now, and a plethora of lenses and all that stuff. So yeah, no more Canon.
Nope.
Yep.
What made you do the switch?
Dynamic range. You know, I love the feel of the Canons. I've always liked the Canon color science. Their menu system is good. And I really like the EOS R. Megapixel thing is not that big of a deal to me, but dynamic range is. And with 13 and a half stops versus 15 that you get from Nikons or Sony making the sensors for the Nikons, of course, it's hard to compete. A stop and a half difference is significant when you're shooting architecture and you're relying a lot on natural light.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a big difference. So that's the way we went. So we'll... We haven't had a chance to test them yet or anything, of course, because I just got them. But I have talked to several people who shoot architecture with these cameras, and they absolutely love them.
So you got rid of all your Canon lenses and everything?
Uh-huh. Everything's
gone.
You
got tilt-shift Sony lenses?
No. Okay, so let me back that up.
Because I'm freaking getting confused.
Nope. I had to keep the Canon tilt-shifts, but okay. I got an adapter so that I can use those on the Sony camera.
Gotcha.
So, and then Sony native lenses that are zooms and primes, you know. If Sony or Sigma or one of these companies ever comes out with an E-mount tilt shift lens or set of lenses, dude, they'll sell a bunch of them.
I don't know why anybody else,
Canon and Nikon are the only ones. Nikons, they haven't updated their tilt shifts in forever.
Oh yeah.
Canons are good and nice and sharp. They haven't updated them in a long time. They have added to the line recently with a few different focal lengths, but, nothing in the roadmap for their mirrorless system yet. And Sony, who knows what they're going to do? They could drop a whole line of them tomorrow. Nobody ever has any idea what the hell Sony's doing.
That's true.
They're so far ahead of the game on everything. It's funny to watch the other manufacturers like Nikon and Canon and these guys play catch up. They are introducing new cameras with all of these features. And Sony's like, we've had that for a decade already, you know? And so when they do drop something like that and brings them up to par with Sony, Sony just mic drops them with a whole nother thing that's light years ahead of whatever they just introduced, you know? And so I think they're so far ahead of the game, it's going to be hard for the others to catch up. But this new Sony is 15 stops of dynamic range. It is got video capabilities. Even using it for video, we have this whole different body, Sony body we're using for video, but it has the EVF that's in the Panasonic S1R, which is acclaimed as the best EVF out there. It's nice and clear, 5.7 megapixels, all this kind of stuff. So that's in it because they made the EVF for the Panasonic. And I eventually just put it in their own camera.
I'm sorry, I fell asleep for a second there. What did you say?
I know. It's all. It's
insane. Can I hear it again? Do you have time?
I do love you.
Well, I know you're not a camera geek like the rest of us, but or at least like I am. But I spent a lot of time researching this stuff, trying to figure out what I was going to do because
well, that
so
makes
many
it so much easier for me when I just have a question. It's you just saved me 47 hours of research the next time I need to buy a new camera.
That's about how long it took. There's so many platforms, man. What do you know? And they're all good.
Tony, what do I need to buy? This? Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I told you that for your laptop and you went and bought it.
I did.
And you don't even like it.
I don't dislike it.
What'd you get?
I don't know. I built whatever you could build the fastest and whatever that thing. I don't know. The new one.
MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
Am I the only Windows guy in here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
It's cool. I've crunched some pretty monstrous files on this thing, and I've crunched some pretty monstrous files on my other computer, which was 4 years old. And I can tell a slight bit of difference. But I remember when I was in there, I was like shaking my head because... The guy was selling me on the fact that it had six speakers in it. And I'm like,
Who cares?
I don't give a shit.
Who cares?
You're a nice guy, and I'm sure you sell a lot of computers, but the six, I'm never going to use the six speakers in this laptop. I'm going to plug it into something that sounds better. I guarantee it.
Well, a lot of people, that's their only.
I did get the Space Gray, which I think is rad.
It is cool.
It does have twice the storage as my other one did, which I thought is cool. I still have not found a way to, quote unquote, in Tony Roslin's words, ditch my DSLR and shoot all my pictures with my iPhone 11 Pro.
Totally possible. It is. For the stuff you're shooting on Model Mayhem and stuff, you'd be,
be fine. Oh, man, that's funny.
Oh, Elizabeth, my wife just got a 16-inch. Her MacBook Air died, and she was in Seattle, and so she ordered a 16-inch MacBook Pro, and it showed up in 2 hours. That's what they do there in Seattle. Everything, if anything takes longer than 2 hours, it's you're not buying from there.
When did she order it?
Like noon, and it showed up by
today.
No. Like last week.
Oh, last week.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yep.
So I ordered another computer. I bought another computer about 2 weeks after I bought that one, and the guy was like, "I was just like, I just want your cheapest iMac. I just need your cheapest. It's not doing anything except like Word docs and Excel spreadsheet. I want your cheapest computer for people that don't have any idea how to even use a Mac. I just want your." He's like, "Okay, but just buy the one that has a solid state drive, because we sell them still that have the what are the spinny ones called?
Normal hard drives.
Normal hard drives. Yeah. I think there's a better technical word for it, but whatever.
We'll go with that.
Is it SSD? No, or DD?
HDD?
F47s. Anywho, I was like, okay, I'll take that one. He's like, well, you can't actually have it now because the coronavirus has stopped all shipments from China. Oh, so Jesus. We don't actually have those in stock.
Wow.
He's like, but I'll tell you what, we'll sell you this one and then you can return it for free. We'll give you the brand new one whenever it comes in. I'm like, okay, that's pretty good customer service.
See if they'll hold up to it.
Yeah, we'll see if they hold up to it. I didn't get it in writing.
I'm getting the 16-inch MacBook Pro like maxed out like you did. I just traded in 5 laptops that we had laying around.
Jeez. To Apple?
Yeah.
You just trade them in? Yeah, I know. They wouldn't take my other one.
You can't take them to the store. You have to do it online. They send you a box. Yeah. You put it in there. You send it back. They give you a gift card, and then you use that towards your new purchase.
Did you make any money on them?
A little bit. I don't keep them very long typically, so they're still worth a little bit of money.
I usually just do 3 years for AppleCare, and then I get a new one. I just let the other one lapse. I just got busy.
That's about how long this... Yes, 2017, so that's about how long I kept it. Yeah, so it's a 2017 is my most recent. So we're trading all those in. I'm trading 5 in and getting enough to almost pay for the new laptop. Still got to come out of pocket. But 8-core... So what I've been doing is... running Capture One and Affinity Photo and these things all at the same time. And so that's where I need the extra RAM. I need, and they go to 64 gigs now, which is amazing. And you can get a...
I just find that funny because Windows has been doing that forever.
Much better graphics card now.
Oh, they're so expensive, dude. Just for that monitor and that laptop was like $5,800 or something.
See, I'm going to run 2 of those monitors. You can run 2 6K monitors off these things now.
Yeah, I know.
Laptop.
I know.
It's insane.
I know. And you can plug in an external video card if you so choose.
If you want to do that, you could do that. If you're doing like 3D renderings and stuff and you need more horsepower, you could do that. That's crazy. Yeah, I know this is a PC thing for the longest time, but Mac hasn't needed all that shit. They've worked just fine and better than PC with minimal specs, but they're starting to step it up.
Yeah. I am getting, I will say I'm always kind of like, I don't want to say I'm a naysayer. But sometimes I think tech is just there for tech's sake. Like, there's some tech that's really rad. Like, I don't know. Like, mirrorless cameras. And there's other tech that's, like, nonsense. And I can't think of anything right now. I'm trying, but I can't. But I thought that little bar was nonsense.
Yeah.
I do use it a little.
Yeah.
But...
It takes some getting used to.
Yeah.
Liz likes it now that she's had... She's like, I'm finding all kinds of little uses for this.
Yeah.
The problem is you're not used to looking at that. When you're used to looking at your screen.
Right.
So you miss half the shit that it's introducing to you that it's capable of. Yeah. You actually have to focus and concentrate on looking at it all the time so that you use it.
I do love the fingerprint thing. That's pretty handy.
I like Apple Pay in general, being able to just use your fingerprint to pay for something or log in.
Use Apple Pay on my phone every day.
Yeah, and using Apple Pay online.
Especially with the coronavirus. You don't have to touch anything.
To confirm. You can use your phone to confirm your Apple Pay. It's cool. Technology is cool. It's a cool time to be alive. But anyway,
I will say that I haven't used my hands in like a week. I've gone through every door using my elbows. I grocery shopped all day the other day, just picking items off the shelf with my elbows.
Oh, I thought you were going to say with your teeth. Just with your teeth. Like, that's not going to work. That's counterproductive.
My wife works in the medical field and got an email from one of the docs today about who was actually one of the first to ever work in the coronavirus field in the 70s. And he had a laundry list of shit you were supposed to do. And he does this every year during the flu season. Except that he added rubber gloves into the mix this year for the coronavirus. And I'm telling you, man, that list is as long as from here to your front door, which is a long way. And I'm like, there's just simply no way you can get through life doing all this. I mean, it's like paper towels on the gas, you know, when you put gas in your car, it's not coughing in your sleeve because the virus lives for a week in your arm fold.
Where are you supposed to cough then?
On other people's
shoes. On a paper towel that's disposable and immediately throw it away and then go wash your hands and then wash your hands after you wash your hands and then open the door and then wash your hands again and then dive into a vat of hand sanitizer and, you know.
Walk around in a bubble.
You're supposed to sneeze into a paper towel, put it in a trash bag, double bag that, put it in a biohazard.
And burn it!
Exactly. It's insane.
I'm like, All right. And my wife's like, make sure you abide by this. I'm like,
not going to happen.
Sorry.
There he is with his elbows trying to pick up grapes.
Hard no.
All right, back to Chris. So you're a PC guy.
Yes.
What? Why?
Mainly just because I do a lot of gaming too. So
you're
reason.
One of those.
I am one of those.
What do you play? What do you play on these? What kind of these games of video do you play on these PCs?
Varies from day to day.
Are they first person shooter games?
Some of them, yes. I also have a fully built racing sim, so. I do a lot of that with VR. So,
do you have
a racing sim?
Fuselage of a car in your living room?
So, is this like Sim City people? The same Sim City folks?
No. Like that car racing
simulation. That's a thing for simulation. Yes. I see what you're saying.
Oh yeah, don't. Oh, this is weird.
Oh, I saw this.
Oh, weird.
Is this what you do on your PC?
Yeah, in my free time.
That's what PC guys do.
Put that in the notes.
Yeah, that's what PC guys do.
There's just a baby swimming through space.
Yeah, I was doing some weird tracking tests and
you were.
Fell upon that guy.
Now let's go back to Anfisa. I see you did a little rendering of that.
I did.
I thought you guys were doing that.
We did.
You did.
So we were in the middle of the campaign and Chris sent me this shot of, and I couldn't tell if it was a damn photograph or rendering, and then I realized the lid did not have their branding on it, mm-hmm. and the tolerance between the lid and the jar was too tight to be a real photograph. And so he fessed up and said that it was a rendering. Or what do you call it? A modeling? A 3D modeling?
Yeah, just 3D rendering.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, it looks cool.
It's rad, right?
Yeah.
So the thing I don't understand with this these days is that if you can do stuff this good in 3D modeling, where do product photographers even have a future?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You better sell all that shit you just bought.
I'm baffled. Well, fortunately, I shoot architecture. You still need architecture photos.
Yeah, but I like this. Some of the 3D renderings.
I like this.
They're
I know,
good, but
it's
they
like,
still have to have actual photos. True. Fortunately,
I like this thing up here. That like, yeah.
That one.
But then there's like a laser beam or something.
Yeah, it was an R&D test for a project I was working on.
So this is all. What app are you doing this?
Cinema
4D.
Yeah, this is Cinema 4D, and then you have to use I'm using a third-party render engine, which is called Redshift. So
Render engine.
Very technical.
This is this Corona. Is cool. And it's something that I've been
Corona.
A couple of people I know, photographers are doing a lot of CGI combinations mm-hmm. with their photography.
Yep.
And I see the stuff that they're rendering, and I'm going, I can't tell if it's a photograph or if it's, you know, rendering. So what's the point of even taking a photo anymore if you can make it that perfect? And to go back in and change the lighting or to make an edit is so much faster than building a set and reshooting something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's the nice part is if you go in, you build everything out to client spec and then you give them a product or like a preview of what it is. And they go, oh, I want more light on that left side or whatever. You've already torn down your set. With this, you don't have to do that. You can just go in, tweak a couple settings and they want blue light, they want orange light, whatever, you can do that. So
what percentage of things are actually getting shot like this?
I don't know.
Does nobody, because who knows? Who knows? You can't tell by looking at it.
The problem is so many of it. So some of the retouchers that I've talked with recently, they will take a photo from a photographer and maybe, you know, you have a Corona bottle and you want to have a splash and a lime mm-hmm. like falling into mm-hmm. it or something, right? And so the photographer shoots all that shit. But then if the retoucher can't work with it or it isn't good enough or it's not quite right, they'll just render something else that looks similar. They'll mimic it. And they can tweak it however they want as a mm-hmm. rendering and then combine it with part of the actual photos and get what they need. So that's the thing. I understand for some industries you have to have photos, but a product like, you know, manufacturer that's selling a what is this thing here? A smartphone of some sort, right? Mm-hmm. You know, why? Why do you need a photo? Just use the damn render.
Well, I mean, if you look at all the, like, all Mac commercials or Apple commercials, those are all renders. Those aren't actual videos. None of that's actual photos. Those are all renders.
Mm-hmm. So. And you can't hopefully tell. Not the stuff that is like shot on iPhone 11 or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's
some companies lie about that too. So.
That's not like a dude walking around with his phone in his hand. If you look at the rigs,
oh, I know. They're like, ones, yeah, one, like they got,
oh, it's insane. Yeah, it's yeah. deceptive. That's not yeah. really. I wish they would do a genuine campaign and just be like, hey, best you can get with just a native iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Nothing well, and else. Then there's like, I think it was the Sony Xperia. They said it was shot on their phone, but then there was like a reflection in a van that was actually shot on red. Oh. So they got caught. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was Sony that did that, but
it's funny.
Yeah. It was a big ordeal. So
he doesn't care. No, he's still buying Sony. Yeah. He don't care. They're a bunch of liars and thieves.
I'm not shooting with a souls, Sony phone. Does Sony make soul phones?
Stealers.
Sure do, huh? I don't think they make.
You know what
anymore.
I did see? I've only seen one, and then I had to look it up to make sure that it was like a real. I was last year. I was in a Uber, and the guy had a red
mm-hmm.
yeah.
phone.
The red hydrogen.
And I know they're. I know they're. Yeah. I mean, but it was the first time I ever heard about it or saw it. You
it
know,
bombed.
And it's just crazy because yeah. it's big of a tech geek terrible. As I am. They are terrible.
I know, I'm surprised yeah. that you didn't know about this.
I know. I'm pretty. I have a finger on the pulse.
It's a beta tester for Flash websites still.
Dude, it's coming back.
Yeah, you're gonna bring it back all not. By yourself. Oh man. So yeah. So is that? What do you think, man? What are your thoughts on the future of all this CGI and stuff? Is this how things are going to go ultimately? Do you think it's going to cut a lot of jobs out of photography or what?
I think so. That's kind of why I've started to move into that. Just because there's just so much you can do with it. It does take a little bit longer to prep things, depending on if you have a model from the manufacturer, company, whatnot. If you don't have that, you have to create it. And that can take days to weeks to months, depending on how complicated it is.
So then it becomes not cost effective. You might as well shoot it.
Yeah. So if they, most companies, like if it's a phone company, they'll have a CAD model of it right. already and they can just send that to you.
Okay.
And
then that, so that's your jumping off point.
Exactly.
Okay.
Just a CAD drawing.
Yeah. Well, it'd be a full like model of it. So a full 3D version of it.
Yeah.
They send it to you. You have to texture it and do all that kind of stuff, get the materials to look right, like look accurate.
But their dimensions are correct.
And yeah, every all yeah. the little details are there. Like if there's little slots in it, those will all be there and everything. So that once you get that, it's the texturing can take maybe a day. And then from there, it's just lighting, composition, animation.
Can we go back to his like what is it? What's the brand? The makeup or whatever it was?
Enfisa.
Enfisa. So, okay. So... You built that, or did they don't? They didn't have a CAD drawing of that.
They have no idea.
Yeah, of course.
I saw Tony doing the campaign for that, and I was bored one day, and I was like, oh, I'll just try to do something.
Oh,
like
you
that.
Just did so, this on a whim.
Yeah,
gotcha.
He looked at my stuff and said, shit, I can do way better than that in a half hour.
So
he sat in his living room with his PC and built this thing up, and just took me a week to do it.
I gotcha.
And that's straight out of the render too. That's there's no Photoshop anything. That's straight out of the render. So
the render engine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The way the lighting falls.
I know.
Off
it's
and
cool. Well, it's know, fake.
Highlights.
It's not it real.
Yeah.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's amazing.
It's Inception.
And I had no idea like what the cream or whatever looked like for that. So I kind of made it look like it was like I don't know some weird
creamy
thing.
It's green. That's not it.
See, I didn't know that. I can go back and change it, though.
That's the thing. You can't. I would have to reshoot it.
Yeah.
You
know, I'll go home after this, and I'll change that and send it to you.
Yeah. So go to product or shop or whatever it is. You can see. Go to shop on their website. So that's the one I actually shot. That is not a rendering. Well, all of that I shot, but that's what the product looks like, that green stuff right there.
You shot that green too?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I shot that. If you scroll up and show the jar, that's my jar that I shot. That's an actual photograph. You could create that in no time as a rendering, I assume. Yeah. See, it's going to put us out of a job. It's crazy.
We talked about this a little while ago, though.
Yeah, but I don't know if it is going to put you out of a job. Because in no way, shape, or form would they, a company of this particular size, in the current market, be able to afford to hire somebody like him to draw that thing out. It's so much quicker for you to shoot it.
Is it?
I built that entire thing from beginning to end. There was absolutely no model at all. I built everything from scratch. 3 hours.
So they can hire him for 3 hours.
For a jar.
Or me.
But if it was a car or something like that, yeah, it would be obviously a little something.
A jar takes me a day to shoot that. It does. I got to build a set. I got to shoot it. I got to edit it.
You got to clean it in between.
It's a full day shoot. So they're going to pay me for a full day shoot, including retouching and all that stuff. Or they pay him for 3 hours and he pumps out the same product.
Yeah, you're out of job, dude.
See what I'm saying? It's tough. I don't understand what's going to happen with the market yet. So,
well, I think it's still, though, it still has to depend on the product, too, man.
Yeah.
At certain times, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I obviously know nothing about what you're doing. I just understood what a render engine was. And I don't even understand it. I just knew a new word.
Sounds cool.
But, like, let's say, for instance, a cocktail in a bar that's sitting there and it's sweating and there's like different elements in the background and all these different specular highlights and glowing orbs. I know you can build all that.
Yeah.
I know you can build all that. But at what point does it not become cost effective? Like, how long does it take you to build that set?
The thing is, if you can pull from stock this is where the combination of photography and CGI comes in.
But not for somebody that's trying to sell something. I wouldn't want a stock background of, like, say, my restaurant.
Or they can go have someone like Chris, who's got the skills to do both, go shoot a backplate inside a restaurant, go down to Hunt, your restaurant, and shoot the backplate, and then he can bring that
into I know it's all possible. I'm just saying, at what point does it become
make the bottle
cost-effective?
And drop it in there. I think that would be more cost-effective, is if you have the skills to do both, then you have the ability to analyze it and go, okay, to get a perfect image of this bottle with the sweat and all that, is it going to be quicker for me to shoot it at the bar over there or just do that part? In rendering,
I guess. I'm sure there's not a lot of guys out there that are doing both as well as he does either. So that means you have to hire somebody. Yet,
but they're definitely coming though.
More and more every day. I see more and more photographers are throwing CGI into their portfolio.
I'm trying to save your job, but you're trying to help me not. So whatever. I just think that
I'm trying to figure out if this is something I need to figure out how to do.
I would recommend it.
My brain hurts already, man. I just trying to keep up with Photoshop and that stuff is hard enough.
I think the nice part about it too is it's very art directable. So if the art director or whoever is very particular on what they want, if they want a single water droplet moved to the right half an inch, you can do that.
Yeah.
So stuff like that makes it very good.
I think it's rad. I always embrace technology that I think is rad. And I think this is rad. I think that if you're going to do this, you should just find somebody like him that you can hire on the side and do these things and pitch it and then just sell it to your clients. If that's the case, might as well make a little bit, maybe might as well make 10% on it or whatever. Farm that shit out and keep on going to the next one. Because trying to learn a whole new trade, no way I would be able to do
that. That's it. And the time, you know.
It's the time, dude.
Just learning. So we've moved from Photoshop to Affinity Photo this year. So we're using Capture One and Affinity Photo. We're trying to dump Adobe completely. This whole subscription and paying for flawed, buggy software gets on my nerves. And so I own my Affinity Photo copy. You know, I pay for it one time and that's it.
Yep.
You know? And they give updates all the time. They don't charge you for them and stuff. And it's not buggy. It works.
Just one cost for here on out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got it on Black Friday for $35. I've had it for a year and a half and they keep updating it and keep updating it. And an update came out last week with some new features and it's amazing. It's normally $49.95 and it does.
That's it.
I'm going to say 99% of what Photoshop does and the missing 1%, it does 1% more that Photoshop doesn't do.
Like what kind of stuff does it not have?
It doesn't have a paths panel, so you can't you can't save paths. But they have a different approach to how that works.
So they had have a workaround for it.
I wouldn't call it a workaround. I would call it an alternative method of doing doing stuff. Right. There's certain things like let's say gradients. If you're familiar with Photoshop and you draw a gradient on something and you don't like the way it looks, you have to undo and try again. Right. And then let's say you do that and you go, I don't like the color. I wish this was a little darker green. Well, now you got to undo it and do it again with a different color picker, right? Affinity, you can drag a gradient and then you can pick the colors that it's
just like gradient. A non-destructive type.
Exactly. Okay. And then if you don't like the transition and how quickly it falls off, you can slide that back and forth too inside the gradient. So their whole thing is way more non-destructive by nature than Photoshop. Photoshop can be non-destructive. There are smart filters and all of that, but that is all something you have to think about in Photoshop because it was all something that was created after Photoshop was already a platform. With Affinity, that's just the nature of the app, right? And it's very cool. There's a lot of really
cool features. And I'm assuming they've all used Photoshop, obviously, so they know what they like and what they don't like, so they develop 100% how they want it.
And
so.
and the flow, the workflow is good.
Were you born in 1949?
No, I was not.
I say that because something just popped up on the Open Affinity. It said Tony Roslin established in 1949.
I haven't changed it yet.
I think Tim's, that's a work in progress. So in addition to Affinity Photo, they make Affinity Publisher and Affinity Design and some things. I think that's what it's
design. Design is like an illustrator.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then Publisher is like,
InDesign,
yeah. So they have
never
to,
use that.
And it's a flat fee for each of those, man. And they, you know, they integrate with each other and stuff. And you can open PSD files, and all your shortcuts are the same and whatnot. Well, 99% of your shortcuts are the same.
I'm assuming you can probably customize them too.
Yeah, and you can, But most of them are already there, so it's not a.
They're not paying us, are they?
It's not a huge learning curve.
Is Affinity Photo paying us?
No, but they should.
Okay. Well, just so everybody knows that's listening, we're not endorsed or paid by Affinity Photo.
But I'm just talking about a switch that I made.
If you want to, maybe.
You know, I've been pretty happy with it. I have noticed that it's a RAM hog, though, which is one of the reasons we just upgraded the iMac. And we doubled the RAM in that. It does suck a lot of RAM up, especially if you're running it concurrently with Capture One. Oh, the focus merge in this is amazing.
I'll say you probably use that a lot.
Yeah, so they have a feature, that their focus merge, focus stacking, whatever you want to call it. They call it focus merge. You can actually run the thing. It does a phenomenal job. But the neat thing is after the fact, if it missed something, you just click on the combined layers and you can see which one has that part in focus and you can paint it in after the fact very, very easily. It's really, really cool. So a lot of things that are kind of weird and convoluted in Photoshop, they've sorted out for their app, you know.
Scroll back down real quick. How well does that work?
Really well.
Refine selection?
Yep, it works really well. So that is one of my best viewed videos, that Refine Mask tool in for Photoshop.
Oh, okay.
Bringing back the legacy version.
Actually, I'll say you're the one that told me about that.
No, you're the one that told me that. Yes.
Oh, that was a while ago. I don't remember.
It was. So I was going nuts trying to come up with, do a mask around some hair in Photoshop, and it just was not working. And I was like, they changed the Refine Edge tool. It's horrible. It doesn't want to work. It's laggy. It's bogging down my computer. And I put a thing out on Instagram. Does anybody know how to make this work better? And Chris responded and was like, dude, hold down shift, click this, do that. And it brought back the legacy version of the tool, which works phenomenally. And I thought it was so good that I just created a quick YouTube video about it, put it on the channel. It's one of my most watched YouTube videos.
People, did you monetize that?
People, oh yeah. People send me all the time thank yous. Thank you so much, man. This has been driving me crazy. You know, they do shit like that sometimes. And yeah, there it is.
How many views again?
I don't know. 8,000.
Nice. Thanks, man. You are a legend.
I am a legend. Although it's not really me that came up with this. It was Chris.
I didn't come up with it either. I saw it somewhere too.
You told me about it. So anyway, that's the whole point. My whole point is that Affinity has fixed a lot of the convoluted mess that is Photoshop. And to their, you know, Photoshop's credit, you know, they've been trying to advance an existing application over the years without breaking it, right? Where Affinity got to start from scratch and not have all that legacy code they had to deal with. So, but it is really good. So if anybody out there listening has been contemplating a switch or trying Affinity, I would say that there's a little learning curve. It's not steep. You have to spend about a week with it and just figure out all the nuances that are different from Photoshop. But once you do that, it really is a phenomenal app. So,
you're not using Photoshop at all?
No Photoshop, no Lightroom. So Capture One is by far much better.
Yeah. Capture One as well.
You know, but Affinity Photo, yeah, Asus, I'm loving it.
Do they have a demo for it or a trial?
Do they? Yeah. Yeah, Tim's shaking.
I'm happy to try that.
Yeah, go get it. I warn you in advance, in the beginning, it is a little awkward at first, but once you get used to it and figure out all the nuance differences, then it's good to go.
Have you tried the iPad version of it?
I haven't, but it is cross-platform. I mean, you can use it on the iPad, on your desktop, you know, all that stuff. And the functionality supposedly is the same between them. So, and it's cross-platform, so you could use this on PC too, I think, right?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure it's PC. Yeah. So you could, you know, and it's supposedly the way it works on both is exactly the same. Hmm. So anyway, for what it's worth, anybody who's listening, a lot of changes, new cameras, new software,
anybody,
all kinds of stuff.
For the millions of you that are listening.
I mean, anybody who's listening that cares about this, let me say that.
Oh, there you go. All right. Good save.
Time for another round. Anyway, we're getting geeky on this one. I'll try a familiar, Corona Familiar. Let's try
I'll trade you.
All right.
Familiar. You like
it?
Familiar.
It is good?
It's good. I think is the way you pronounce that.
Familiar?
Yeah.
So anyway, a little geeking out this week, but what else is going on in your life, Chris?
Not much. I mean, I did just buy a house this last weekend.
So. Oh, I saw that. It was the last post on Instagram. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are 30.
I am, yes. Yeah, so I figured it was the only step to go, so... yeah,
is that it?
That's it. Yep. Small little house, first house, but
where is it?
It's over by Feltz Field.
What's your exact address?
We found Jed's by Googling him last week. So.
Oh, that's creepy.
You'll find yours. If it's not up yet, it will be soon. Yeah.
No, we move around too much.
That's my old address.
You can't track us down.
That's not my address. By the way, you're moving.
We move every 2 weeks.
I think if you Google mine, it's still going to show that I'm in Arizona.
These limes are hard to get in.
Yeah, these things are cut terribly.
They are cut terribly. You should have put the render engine to that.
You want to know something else? I didn't wash them first, so they're probably covered in coronavirus anyway. We're
it's okay.
It goes good with corona.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Dead air. That's always the best. How about Behance? Do you do a lot on Behance? Are you a Behance guy?
I used to. I haven't posted on there for a little while. I'm going to start doing a little bit more. All my 3D stuff, I'm going to start putting that on there. I think if you go to the work, it should be on there.
There are some really good.
So like that milk one, you're talking about like liquids and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So this is all CG as well. I was doing a test for actual liquids and whatnot. So my girlfriend had milk is an actual cosmetics company. So I just kind of played around with that. And
I will say those liquids, although they're brilliant, they do not quite look real.
Some you have to. I mean, it's very hard to get those to look perfect.
But, right.
For more of a stylized look, it looks pretty good.
Right.
So.
Do they have a jumping off point for stuff like that? Do they have here's a couple of template liquids or something or jars?
It's all simulated. So it's particles hitting things and bouncing off. Then you have to throw them. Mesh over that. It's a complicated process, but
is that Cheetah rendered?
No, that Cheetah is real. That was shot with a phase one, okay. And I sold that photo for $150.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's hanging in somebody's house right now.
That's cool. Yeah. It's actually a pretty cool photo.
It is kind of a cool photo.
I like it. I would buy one. Not for $150.
Yeah.
In fact, Nick Murdo would have that. He has a little secret fucking affinity for the jalapeno Cheetos. You will never find a summer day on his boat without a bag.
Really?
You bet.
Maybe he's the one that bought it for $150.
Was it sold locally?
It was not. I think it's in California.
We should totally buy it and send it to Nick.
That is cool.
I'll just give you, print that off and send it to him. I don't care. I'll just give you the file.
That is cool.
That's so funny.
Nick was our guest last week. Do you know Nick Murdo?
I don't.
14-4 and 7-2.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Method.
The Union.
Steel rod and balls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, he was our guest last week and interesting guy. He's a true entrepreneur and likes to drive fast stuff. So
indeed.
It was fun.
What did he drive?
He's got an R8 and Beast Cherokee. What's it called?
Nighthawk.
Trailhawk.
Trailhawk.
Trailhawk. And then a boat that's faster than shit. And the guy he likes speed, I guess. But very cool guy.
Hmm.
It was fun. We're actually shooting his partner's house coming up.
I saw you say that. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, his business partner just had a house built by one of our architects that we're doing business with, and they hired us to shoot that, which was kind of neat. We're looking forward to that. It's probably going to be a pretty rad house.
Oh, I bet. So, I've heard about it. I've never been out there.
I can't wait for that. So that's coming up in April. Is that it? Yeah, that's the front.
Oh,
of it.
That's cool.
So, and it's built on a hillside, so the back like that. Yeah, that's pretty sick.
Where's
so,
that at?
Saddle Mountain.
It's overlooking a lake or something, isn't it?
I'm not sure. We haven't scouted it yet. This is all right there is all I know about it, and I have a floor plan. So that's it so far.
We're oh wait, started. This is his house, not his lake place.
This is Tyler's house. Yeah,
he has a lake place too, though. It's supposed to be pretty rad. Yeah.
No, this is the new house. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
Somebody's excited to see your shots, though.
I can't wait to see your. There you go. Yeah, bam. I got a mention.
Yeah. People know you.
I'm a mover and a shaker. Yeah, cool. I'm psyched about this year. New camera, new software, new renewed. I'm gonna try some different techniques. We bought a 8-foot portable window. Basically, we bought an 8-foot butterfly. Mm-hmm. Frame, but it's collapsible, so you don't have to carry these big old things around.
Yeah.
That we can blast some lights through a scrim and get basically simulated giant mm-hmm. window mm-hmm. light on scenes, you know. And so I want to try to get some real soft light in some of these places this year. And so, yeah, some different techniques. So, yeah.
Radical.
That'd be cool.
What about, what are you shooting with for a strobe and stuff? For you doing pro photo or?
Yeah, it's all pro photo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have the D2s and B10s. So B10s for the on locations.
Oh, the B10s.
Yeah,
the
little
right?
tiny ones. Yeah, yeah. Just for on location. They were really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never had any issues on them. So
I had my eye on those for a bit. We've got the pro photo stuff we use for the architecture. We just picked up a bunch of Einsteins for the studio for product stuff.
People always, they always say like, it's just bad, but they're actually pretty good.
They're good, yeah.
I still have my alien bees that I started on. They're still going.
Alien bees. Are they still around?
Yeah.
They won't die, man. No. That's the thing. You know, the only problem with the alien bees and that stuff is the consistency between power from shot to shot or even color, which is where the Einsteins kind of pick up from that. You know, you can get a consistent color or you can have them freeze action, which is what I needed for the powder bursts we were doing last week and stuff.
Oh, that was all shot with the Einsteins?
Yeah, we had to freeze that action. And so you can put them in action mode and it makes a real short flash duration. And so that's how we were capturing all the powder bursts and stuff. And that was a freaking nightmare trying to figure that out.
You think those are rendered?
I don't think so. I think those are.
You think so?
I think so, yeah.
That's hard to say now.
I mean, it is. But it, I mean.
We're looking at the Pro Photo website and they're flashes, you know, pictures of their strobes, and it's hard to tell if it's a rendering or if it's a photo of an actual.
I mean, it's almost like they're identical.
And stuff like this, they're identical, aren't they? I mean, essentially, side by side comparison. What are the differences?
I don't know.
If you were to have a rendering versus that, you wouldn't be able to tell it apart. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
So why wouldn't you just render it? You know,
I'm looking at this right now. So.
Well, because they're pro photo, they own a photo.
Yeah, I feel
company.
Like somebody would be able to shoot those really well. But if you okay, so I'm looking at these right now, but it looks like I mean, I think those are the exact same shots. They just extended it. Mm-hmm. There's like little things I'm pointing. Like I know the people who are listening to this can't see it, but I'm gonna take this off and point it out real quick.
Look at this. There's a little like light bump right there. Exact same bump right there. You see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's currently pointing to his groin, talking.
But they are a different. They are of a different size.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Anywho.
Yeah.
I just don't.
I notice weird little details like that. So.
Yeah. Well, as you should.
Cool. So what else is happening, Tim? We haven't heard from you yet, my friend. What's going on in your world?
Quiet over there.
Not a whole lot. Just need to work on the project car a little bit here soon.
Tim is a drifter.
Oh.
He likes
I'll be damned.
Tell him about your project car.
It is a 1984 Volvo 740.
Fuck yes, wagon. It is.
Wagon.
That's, you know what, when I think drifter?
Volvo.
Pretty much.
100%, dude. You know what?
Dude, I want to drive it. tonight.
You know what?
It currently doesn't run.
Oh. Tomorrow.
What got him hired is a video that he did of what year Volvo was that?
Pull it up.
85.
85 Volvo. This is what I hired him for. I saw this and I was like, this guy's got potential.
I've been watching that Formula One series on the Netflix, and I want to race something, and I think we should race that car.
That Volvo?
Yes.
Dude, it's amazing.
We should do time trials.
Each of us take turns.
Here's his Volvo.
We're going to have to...
Check it out.
We're going to duct tape your legs.
We'll post a link to this in the comments or in the show notes.
It looks exactly like a Volvo.
It's not.
Is that the car you're turning? Is that the one you're turning into a drift car?
No,
oh,
it's not. That was another one I bought.
Oh, it's not the drift car.
No, I bought. Well,
I want to see this in.
I want to see the drift car.
This is not a rendering, by the way. This is actually
real photography. Oh, this is the one that got you hired.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, this video. I thought he did a nice job with the editing. If you can make a 1970 Volvo look, what year is this thing?
85.
85 Volvo look sexy through video, then goddamn, you got something, man. You know, so I thought you did a nice job.
I think you did a great job. So show me the drift car.
The drift car is amazing. There it is.
Oh, yes.
There it is.
It is a fucking wagon.
That is amazing.
How cool.
Yeah, just waiting to finish the LS swap.
So you drift on the dirt, not the dirt, with actual asphalt on this car.
Yeah. 100%. Yes.
Did you just say you're putting an LS in there?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. That's going to be good.
Hobbies. There he goes.
Oh, it has its own page.
Of course it does.
I want to see this thing drift.
Does that have a trailer hitch?
Yeah, it was.
With an RX-7 going behind you. Nice.
Did he win?
He definitely did, yeah. Yep.
That is awesome. I haven't been out to see Tim drift yet, but that's on my high list.
Can we go drift? Do I have to have some kind of licensing?
No, you just have to sign a waiver at the...
As it turns out, you don't have to have a license to fly an airplane either, which I can show you how to do that as well.
Okay. I'll let you fly. I'll stick with the drifting.
Okay.
I'm not riding with either one of you.
Deal. No, you're going to race it. We are going to race. We're going to have a live trackside podcast this summer. We're going to do time trials in the car, and that's what it's going to be.
That sounds like fun.
It'll be very fast. It'll be fast sideways around the course. But
If we wreck it, what are we in for if we just do like body damage?
I don't know. It's a Volvo. Things that tank.
I was like, solid steel, isn't it?
$300.
Okay.
I bought the car for $650.
Well, I know, but I feel like you have more into it than that.
Yeah, a little bit now.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what that other Volvo...
I just want to know if I total it, to survive and walk away, what it's going to cost me.
$600.
Perfect.
Yeah.
He's got $40 worth of stickers on the thing, dude.
No, well, those are free.
We're going to do a track side. We're going to do a summer track side, Tony versus Jed, drifting time trial.
Yeah.
And we're gonna do trackside comments afterwards with beers.
Well, come help the GoPro.
Get the car finished.
No. We're gonna bring great awareness to your Instagram page. There's value in that.
Over a million followers are gonna be on your Instagram.
We are
page.
After all the Joe Rogan Sister podcasts.
True. All right. Well, that's so cool. We're about an hour here, so
let's cut it.
That went fast.
Yeah, it did go by. It was a little bit of a geeky episode. But I'm glad you came over, man.
Yeah. Thanks for
having
me.
It was cool to hear a little bit about what's going on in your world. And you got me more depressed about 3D modeling than I was before you got here. So
I feel the exact same, but I do feel worse for you.
Thanks.
I'm not going to take your job. Don't worry.
So confused. Don't know what to do.
I think you're safe in the architecture world. And I think you're safe for a long time, months. In the product testing.
At least 6 weeks. All right. Well, I guess that's it for this week. We will we'll catch you on the next one.
Later.